Hi, welcome to today's episode of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You are with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman. We are going to discuss the Seahawks' third preseason game where they lost in the final seconds, 21-20, to the Minnesota Vikings. A game where the Seahawks were in control for a lot of it after the first few Vikings drives. But before we get into the deep dive about this game, we're going to do a quick intro. I'm Grant Goldberg. I'm the co-host of this Locked On Seahawks podcast, and I do social media and graphic design work for SB Nation's The Lakers site. And Spike is a part-time blogger writer at The Stranger, part-time punt enthusiast, full-time punt enthusiast.
Yeah,
let me make that correction. Spike, that was quite the display from our guy Michael Dixon this past Friday, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it was incredible. I mean, we talked with Sean Clement last episode about the 9 different types of punts and what that means. And what is most interesting to me about that, having watched this game, isn't just the variety of punts, but the consistency within the type of punt. And you can see it with the first and fourth punt, both of which hit at about the 3-yard line and then skipped to the right and went out at the sideline, pinning the Vikings back within the 5. I mean, the only way you can really tell the difference between the two of them watching is that in one of the cases, I think it's Shaq Griffin, one of our gunners taps the ball out of bounds, and the other one, the ball just does it on its
Trey
own.
Trey Flowers.
Trey Flowers, my bad. I knew it was a rookie. It's that he was able to hit that same punt both times. And obviously he had the one bad punt, bad in quotation marks, where he hit it 61 yards in the air, but he didn't quite get 5 seconds of hang time on it, so he outkicked the coverage a little bit. If that's the worst thing we see from our rookie punter, is a case, and then he made the tackle, to be fair. I think we're in great shape punting-wise. This could really become a punting podcast because it is, we're so used to, as Seahawks fans, having a unit or player on our team sort of all over the field where you're talking about a guy who is best in the league in his position, whether it's Richard Sherman or Earl Thomas or the combined pass rush, especially in 2013 with all that depth and Averill and Bennett anchoring that, talking about Russell Wilson.
Even last year about Bobby Wagner.
Wagner and Wilson are still around. Thomas, God willing, will be around at some point, but Dixon really is if you were to ask me which unit or what position on the field are the Seahawks the best, like highest ranked in the NFL, I think I go middle linebacker, then punter, then quarterback right now. And that's wild because I think Bobby Wagner still might be the best middle linebacker in the league. I think Michael Dixon's going to be the second or third best punter in the league. And I think Russell Wilson's like somewhere in the, we've talked about this, like 4-7 range in terms of best quarterback in the league. So, you know, we're living in wild times where in the third preseason game, which is essentially a tune-up, I mean, Eric Walden comes in, looks great. Pass rush looks solid. The run blocking looks good. Jermaine Ifedi isn't a total catastrophe. The first thing we're talking is punting, even though we talked for 40 minutes about punting in the preview. I'm just loving the punt ride. And if you guys haven't seen it, follow me on Twitter and check out the Punt Forever Pyramid, which I stole from, I hacked into Pete Carroll's Microsoft Surface and pulled that off of there. And I think it's really informative about what the team is going to do this year.
Yeah. And this is all Michael Dixon's fault. Like, if he wasn't such a great punter and like give us, he wouldn't have given us so much to talk about, this wouldn't be such a punt centric podcast, but it is.
Yeah. No, it's that he's incredible. I mean, like, we talked about it, LeBron James and punting. Like, we're living in a blessed era of Seahawks punting. And it really, like, sometimes you go, like, we've gone into seasons for the last 6 years. I mean, even week 12 of last year, we were like, yeah, we could still win the Super Bowl. You know, obviously those last 4 weeks went badly in a bunch of different directions. But at that point in week 12 of last year, I mean, we'd beaten the Eagles. We were talking about Bobby Wagner as a defensive player of the year candidate. We're talking about Russell Wilson as an MVP candidate. And there was still the outside chance of the Seahawks team. You know, they were favorites to make the playoffs, and there was an outside chance they were a Super Bowl contender. You know, like, for the last 6 years, until like week 15 of last season, this team felt like a Super Bowl contender week in and week out. Doesn't feel that way right now, not to me anyway. I mean, this team could, if everything breaks right, we've talked about how the starters are pretty good. We could be a playoff team, certainly. You know,
yeah.
I don't know that we're a Super Bowl contender this year, but so you've got to look for the other fun things. And I don't think there's anything more fun than Michael Dixon. But, Grant, there was a whole preseason game that was played. Can you talk about, for you, what you saw, maybe outside the realm of punting, that is getting you excited coming off of this pretty good preseason performance?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to key in on just the consistency of the run game this preseason, because it's looked more consistent and more effective than it did all of last season. And, you know, that's without Russell Wilson, you know, running for first downs and you know, having to carry the entire load of the running game on his back. And a lot of the credit goes to healthy Chris Carson. It goes to a more consistent, I'd say, offensive line. And I got to credit where I got to give credit where credit is due. Jermaine Ifedi looked good on Friday, and you know, just the entirety of the line looked, you know, really solid. Gave Chris Carson a lot of room to run. Mike Davis had a few good snaps. CJ Process got a good couple carries in there. So you know, that was my biggest takeaway, not only from this last game but just the entire preseason. So it was good to see some consistency in that area, and to see it keep going and not really hit any hitches. So we had another Chris Carson touchdown. The other one was negated last week. But yeah, I liked what I saw from there. And you know, if I was to talk about something else, I'd just say the overall offensive line play was pretty good. And Jermaine Ifedi just saves his job for another week. He played really, really well, actually.
Yeah.
Going up against that Vikings front. The whole offense looked better than I thought they were going to against this Vikings defense. But
they were down one of their big name defensive ends, right? I forget which one. Doesn't matter. Because like that is the reality of the NFL is I think Everson Linval Joseph played, but Everson Griffin didn't, I believe. But that happens in the NFL. Like sometimes you don't face the best player. You know, we played the Chargers. They didn't have Joey Bosa, but Melvin Ingram still ruined our lives. That was not the case this week.
Yeah,
it looked good. Yeah, I mean, I also credit on the interior. I thought it's interesting. I forget who pointed this out. This was not my observation, but Britt is shading towards Posick on run blocking, which is suggesting that the team really likes how DJ Fluker is producing in the run game, and you're seeing the run game just work. You're seeing it just work, which is like really exciting and novel after the last couple of years, after the post Marshawn Lynch era, to see Chris Carson look like the Chris Carson we saw for a flash last year. And if anything, look better than that, as opposed to say what happened with Thomas Rawls, where he was never able to recapture that lightning in a bottle. With Carson, it doesn't feel like lightning in a bottle. It feels like what he can do. So that's pretty good and exciting. Yeah, the other one for me is all the wide receivers seem fine.
Yeah.
And that's good news. A, because Doug Baldwin isn't around, so you're talking about getting their ones on our twos, essentially, to a degree, or like everybody sort of shading over. Obviously, Baldwin plays out of the slot a good amount, so that, you know, it isn't a one-for-one there, but like the fact that Brandon Marshall and Jerron Brown and David Moore are consistently showing up and looking good is really good. I think we've got a really strong sense of who our wide receivers are. I don't know what's happening with Darbo. He's got a clavicle injury now. Is that the deal with him? So, you know, but like we're not missing him. Obviously, it's a bummer that he's not playing, but I don't think we have a receiving core that can create for themselves. But we have a receiving core that is competent and versatile, and with Russell Wilson, that works. That's good enough.
Yeah, Darbo is dealing with a clavicle injury along with a hip injury, so there's two points where he needs to get healthy and better. I'd say, obviously, Darbo has the most to prove going into this next preseason game, if he can play. But aside from the guys trying to make the roster, the guys that are locked for the roster, I'd say that in this receiving group, I think that Tyler Lockett has the most to prove. He's going into his second to last year on his contract, and he hasn't produced like he did in his rookie year, and a lot of that's credit due to his injury, and hopefully he can get back healthy and start producing the way that he did similarly to the rookie year, because I'd say that the Seahawks receivers have looked fine and they've looked good at points, but having that extra explosiveness in Tyler Lockett, that extra ability to do other things, like maybe get some handoffs to wide receivers or stretch the field vertically, I'd say that Tyler Lockett brings a lot of value in that if he's healthy. And so, this year is going to be critical for his contract status with the Seahawks, because we have mentioned the precedent is to extend them going into their last season of the contract. So, hopefully, this is obviously a optimistic take, but I think that if he's healthy, he's going to be in good position to contribute to the Seahawks and get that second contract.
Yeah, and also, interestingly, we've seen what David Moore can do at a pretty high level, which is, and they threw him back in punt, and they're sort of saying, like, hey, here's a guy who is coming for you. Like, what are you going to do a little bit? You know what I mean? There's just, like, a little bit.
You know what, Spike? Always compete. You got to always compete.
Hey.
Always come punt.
Always come punt. And I think it's time for us to always take a quick break and let our sponsors do the compunting. We'll be back right after this Locked On Seahawks podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network.
Guys, when we started this podcast, we put ourselves in a position where people would ask us to predict these games and see who's going to win and go with the best bet, but we're not the best choice for that. You know what the best choice is for that? MyBookie.ag. And they know who's going to win better than we do. And they have live odds, they have in-game betting, a great mobile interface. You can win some cash, and the payouts are quick. They are the premier, betting service to use online, in our opinion. This is why I'm urging you to use MyBookie. You win, and they pay. Simplicity is where it's at, and it's a simple, really clean site to use, whether you be on a computer or a phone. It's the same either way. If you use the promo code LOCKEDON, MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Go to mybookie.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON for a match of 100% by MyBookie. Hi, welcome back to the second portion of today's episode of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You are still with Grant and Spike, and we're going to shift the focus a little bit to the backups, namely backup quarterback. This is a subject that we've talked a little bit about, but Spike came to me saying that he has some thoughts on the backup QB situation.
Yeah, and we talked about this in the last bit. We've got competent receivers. We've got solid, competent, versatile. We got all the different types of receivers you got, but we don't have weapons in the passing game. And so there's something really interesting that was pointed out, I believe Jared Stanger was the one to tweet it, which is that Alex Magoo and Russell Wilson currently have the same preseason quarterback rating. And I think it's pretty clear at this point that Magoo is the better choice than Austin Davis to be the backup. He obviously has more upside. We know what Austin Davis is, and we don't like it. He's not good enough to win. Maybe Magoo is that guy. We've talked about before that if Russell Wilson goes down, there's no replacing him in this offense. And you look at Magoo's preseason performance and you can go, well, maybe he's good enough to do it. And there are the obvious reasons why a backup quarterback's passer rating doesn't equal what a starting quarterback's passer rating is in the preseason, which is primarily that it's backups against backups versus starters against starters. But setting that aside, the type of passing game that we're going to run this year, it's going to be pro style. But it's going to require Russell Wilson to be able to make big-time Russell Wilson plays. And, like, Alex Magoo isn't going to be able to do that. Like, there's, but, and there's no one in the league save for, like, Deshaun Watson, who is able to do what Russell Wilson does. And with the weapons that we have, a little bit less than that is going to be bad. It's not going to work. So, for me, when I look at the backup quarterback situation, it's, and we've talked about this before a little bit, but it doesn't matter, because if Russell Wilson gets hurt, you know, we're donezo. B, Alex Magoo is playing better than Austin Davis. So, you know, you might as well go with the younger, cost-controlled, more interesting player, because, like, the risk isn't really there. But C, even though Magoo looks like he's performing well, that isn't going to translate into the regular season. And it's not just because of the level of competition he's faced, but it's because of, like, the fundamental situation that he would be inserted into.
Yeah, that's a pretty impossible situation to throw Alex Magoo into if Russell Wilson, God forbidding, goes down this season. And I feel like the backup quarterback debate is just all for nothing. You know, we've said this many times, but if Russell Wilson goes down, there's one obvious choice to go with in the backup situation, and that's Colin Kaepernick. He'd by far give the Seahawks the best ability to compete. If Russell Wilson went down, he'd give them the best ability to assimilate their offense if Russell Wilson went down. And the fact that we have to debate Austin Davis versus Alex Magoo, it cut and dry shows what what the Seahawks situation would look like if Russell Wilson had an injury that required him to miss time instead of gutting through it and playing. To me, talking about the two guys that are on the team already, Magoo is by far the more fun choice to me, which matters a lot more than whether he's a competent backup, because when we're dealing with a situation that would just be an obvious tank away situation, you want to go with the fun choice. He showed that he has a little bit of wheels, which was fun. I liked the way he navigated the pocket and escaped. And he's not afraid to throw it up and let his receivers go get it. That David Moore touchdown, he, you know, rifled it in there. David Moore made a play over the defensive back and then ran for the touchdown. So, you know, this is what I'm looking for. The fun upside is more important than the actual playing football upside.
Yeah, I agree. Again, like, and that's just, like, it's a head shift. It's a real head shift, and we're going to be feeling it all year, that it's weird that we're thinking about this season in terms of fun rather than winning a lot.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, I want to see fun. Like, if winning happens, it's great. But I'm not coming into the season judging it based on the number of wins we get, which is, again, unusual. But this is a rebuilding year to a degree, to enough of a degree that I'm like, let's watch the kids cook. You know, and, like, again, I don't want to watch the kids cook at quarterback, but if we have to watch anyone cook at quarterback, I don't want to watch a washed old man cook at quarterback. I assume Austin Davis is younger than I am, so
yeah, he's probably in his mid-20s.
He's 29. He's 29.
All right. Not that far off, but, like, this is something that we should be prepared for, too. I mean, a large portion of the Seahawks fans are Mariners fans, and that's something that they I mean, you guys look for fun. You prioritize fun, you know, over winning in some aspects when you don't expect the wins to come. And, you know, I use that example because it's not fair for me to say that that's what Lakers fans expected over the last few years, because they've had such, you know, a history of winning and that's the expectation. But, you know, in the last few years, you want to let the kids cook. And yeah. And so I think that we can both draw comparisons from at least the recent history of our teams. And it's just going to be different. I think that, you know, this team's still going to be competitive, maybe not as competitive as they were beforehand, but, you know, there's still going to be a lot of positive, fun aspects to draw from this season. And I think that if we focus on that rather than the wins, it's going to be a lot more enjoyable.
Might as well have some fun, guys. We're all, you know,
it's a
why
game.
Why are we watching football? Yeah, exactly. Like, why are we watching football? And there's a degree to which it's about getting to watch your team win a title, and that's awesome. But there's also the degree to which it's about I don't know, like enjoying watching your team play well. Like, it's like, just have fun. I don't know. You got to find the moments within the game that entertain you.
And you know what? Michael Dixon's going to provide a lot of them. And I think, you know, that this is a good time to take a break and come back to you right after this. So stay tuned for more Locked On Seahawks on the Locked On Podcast Network. Welcome back to the final portion of today's episode of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You are still with Grant and Spike, and we are going to go into our daily position battle. And today it's focusing on the linebacking group. And I think that it's probably one of the stronger areas on the team. You have some guys that can really contribute on the first team and some guys that can really contribute on special teams. But we want to know, Spike, who do you think is going to make the roster out of these linebackers?
Yeah, I mean, I think we can write in Sharpie, Bobby Wagner, and then in just a slightly thinner Sharpie, KJ Wright's name, both on the roster and in the starting lineup. Barkevious Mingo is pretty clearly going to be playing that other outside role, filling the Bruce Irvin sort of space in the defense. Which, you know, he's looked fine this preseason. He's looked more effective in pass rush. He's missed some tackles, but he's largely flashed his speed and his size, which is, you know, what we wanted. He's a real athlete. There's a reason why he was a top pick and a top prospect coming out of college, and he fits our system pretty nicely at that spot. I think similarly, the fact that they just signed Eric Walden and he picked up, he looked good in this first preseason game, so just he's going to make the roster. Shaq Griffin, I don't think there's any doubt that he's flashed a bunch. So then I guess it comes down to, like, Austin Calitro and Jacob Martin, sort of, for that. Does Jacob Martin even qualify as a line? I guess he does.
I think he's... I don't know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, what are we talking about at that point? But I think the question is... inside linebacker, outside linebacker, because we've listed a lot. The only inside linebackers on the team right now are KJ and Bobby, the only guys who you can trust to play that mic role. I don't know what you do if they both go down, if you don't put a guy like Austin Calitro on the roster. Also, Austin Calitro should not play snaps. You know what I mean? Like, so we're in an awkward position of, can you get a middle linebacker that you could trust in a pinch? And we saw it with that white dude out of Montana a couple years ago. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Hell yeah. Brock Coyle. Yeah, like, we saw that we were able to stash him on the practice squad and bring him up when we needed him for injury purposes. So I think there's that. Let's go. I don't know. Jacob Martin, sixth guy?
Yeah. No, I think Jacob Martin makes this team. Great. I'm gonna go, you know, simple list. Bobby Wagner, KJ Mingo are the three locks. I think DJ Alexander also is gonna make this team as a special teamer.
Oh, yeah, I guess. Well, wait, is he?
Well, he's a former Pro Bowl special teamer, and I mean he's had his fair share of injuries, but I think that it's a big point of emphasis on this team.
No, that's interesting. I don't know why I didn't even think about him.
He's been injured all of this preseason.
So, I guess that's why.
If anything's going to hurt his case, it's that. And also Shaquem's existence on this roster for virtually the same thing this year. And then you have, you know, a guy like Eric Walden that they just signed, who had a few quarterback hits on Friday. And so I think those are the guys that make this team. If they're in a pinch for a linebacker, I think they sign one off the street.
I bet they can get Calitro onto the practice squad.
Oh, yeah.
I hope.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing with this new cut-down rule. There's going to be just a massive influx of free agents that, you know, can contribute to a team. And I think that, you know, in the frenzy, they're going to be able to retain a guy like that on the practice squad.
Oh, this is interesting. So I'm looking at Condota's projection, and he's got Calitro making the roster, but he's got Eric Walden taking a defensive line spot. I think they're going to Count Eric Walden is another linebacker, and like count whatever. This is all made up to get to 53, but like that's the spot that lets Puna Ford make the roster. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think Puna Ford, if I have to pick between Puna Ford and Austin Kalitro, I'm picking Puna Ford 10 times out of 10.
Right.
And so I think weirdly that becomes the question mark. Who makes it between Puna Ford, Austin Kalitro, and DJ Alexander? I think those three guys are competing for the same spot, even though they do wildly different things for the team.
Yeah, and it's going to be really crazy to watch once the cutdowns come, because there's going to be so many guys from this team that end up on the street. So, yeah, I think that it's coming soon, because, you know, they need to cut down after this fourth preseason game. And, yeah, we're going to see this roster take shape. So I think that does it for today's episode. Make sure you guys, you know, go to iTunes, leave your 5-star reviews if you're a fan of this podcast. If you want more of a broad look at the NFL, I strongly suggest you listen to the Locked On NFL podcast. We've got a great lineup of guests. We've mentioned Sage Rosenfels, the Jewish backup QB. And if you guys, you know, are college football fans, we've got a great lineup of college football podcasts.
I wanna apologize to everybody. I said there was Locked On Longhorns. There isn't yet. I think they're trying to find a Locked On Longhorns host. So I'm sorry. If you were looking for more Michael Dixon content, I'm sorry that you were unable to find it. That's on me. I feel terrible.
We're trying our best. But hey, if you want to host the Locked On Longhorns podcast, it's a great opportunity that's waiting for you. But yeah, make sure you listen to, you know, as many podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network. If you like a certain team, if you like a certain sport, you know, they've got plenty of great options. So I think for all of that, we've done a pretty good job. We've talked about Michael Dixon.
Did great today, Grant.
We talked about Michael Dixon a lot, which is, you know, par for the course. We've talked about the linebacking core.
We've spent a lot of the preseason talking about Alex Magoo and Michael Dixon, and I love it. I love it.
This is what preseason's all about.
Watch a buddy cop movie with Magoo and Dixon.
Yeah, I made a Photoshop of the opening, like one of the opening scenes in Predator, where Arnold, he gives a handshake to Carl Weathers. And it's just that shot of the two huge arms doing a handshake. And I was like, all right, well, that's Shaquem Griffin and Michael Dixon getting ready to destroy other people's lives and special teams. So, look out for the Seahawks memes coming this season, too. There's always plenty of them. Spike's always trying to be an innovator with that. And I'm always on Photoshop, so keep an eye out for that, too.
Yeah, guys, I'm learning how to use Illustrator, so things can get weird.
It's going to get super. More punt pyramids coming from Spike. For the Locked On Seahawks podcast, I'm Grant Goldberg signing off.
I'm Spike Friedman, also signing off.